Hey there, don't you know there, eh? Hey, don't you know there, eh? It's the news according to me. Yes, it is. It's been a fascinating week. For any of you who were out there traveling in the last week, I apologize for the weather. It has been a crazy week here in the Midwest, anyway. Of course, that tropical storm moving up through the Gulf has nothing to do with it. It's all about global warming, climate change. Of course, the climate's always changing. If you go outside tonight, if you're at home right now, I don't know where you're listening, but if it's daytime, let's say it's noon where you are at right now. Right now where I'm at, it's August, by the way, it's August 15th. 2:49 p.m. Eastern time. I am not in the Eastern time zone. I'm in the Central time zone right now. So it's 1:49 here. Almost getting ready to be 1:50. I was supposed to be leaving in about 45 minutes, but it looks like its flight has been delayed. So I've been told, so I'm not going to go to the airport even for another hour beyond what I was supposed to go. And most importantly, we need to talk about what's in my cup, because it's sweet tea from Culver's. Excuse me. And it's good. The cough had nothing to do with that. I may edit that out. I rarely edit anything out. I've only probably edited one or two things out occasionally, because this is basically a live recording. Whatever happens, whatever's on my head, I just kind of, it comes out my mouth, which is, you know, dangerous way to live. But I'm not doing this show. I had set up everything on Podbean to be able to do this show live, but I'm having trouble with my microphone set up. I have a Rode microphone. It is the what is it? It's the NT USB. Sorry, I put all the noise in. I have to look at my microphone to know what it is. It's the NT USB microphone. It plugs in through a USB port. And I set it up so that it's the go-to microphone. But when I go to the Podbean site, there's virtually no way to know what the signal output is from the microphone. You can monitor yourself, and the problem is, if you are trying to hear yourself, it's very difficult unless you, because the Rode has its own monitoring system. So you plug your headphones into the microphone itself. But the computer also has an output. If I plug my headphones into there, I can hear it from, apparently, supposedly, I can hear that from the website. So I can monitor myself from the website. Now, the problem here is that it doesn't give me any kind of feedback signal, like a visual signal strength type thing. Every other program I have ever used over online where I'm recording always gives me an audio signal. I mean, YouTube doesn't. That's true. I guess they don't have they do have an audio quality sound signal. And you can actually monitor it other ways as well, but Podbean is kind of difficult. I mean, I could monitor it by setting up my phone and going to the page and, you know, having a separate monitor there to see what the signal's like and all that stuff. But there's quite a bit of delay on that, which is kind of annoying, because it's like 10 to 20 seconds sometimes delayed in the broadcast. So it's a very rough world we live in. It's a tough world. I don't know how, you know, if our ancestors from 200 years ago looked ahead to see how bad things are right now in terms of the, you know, internet speed, the quality of our telephones, the ability, the things we can do with our iPhones and our little handheld devices, they would probably be in shock and say, oh no, why are we pushing for the future when that's ahead of us with these crazy devices that we have to complain about being so slow and not doing what we want them to do. Yeah, These are called first world problems. That's what these are called. And it's, you know, we like to complain, but even though it's fascinating. You know, I was on my flight the other day, going 500 miles an hour and sitting in a chair in the sky, sipping on a soda. And someone bumped the back of my seat as I was traveling from Chicago to New York in an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah, that's really something. A trip from Chicago to New York a couple hundred years ago would have meant quite a while in a wagon. And possibly having to deal with unruly individuals doing more than just kicking the back of your seat for an hour. It probably would have been about a month-long trip. Maybe a little less than that. A couple weeks. They did have the wheel. Which, until the Europeans came here, there was no wheel in the United States. The civilization that was here, civilization we call it that, the tribes that were here had not even invented the wheel yet. And people look at me funny when I say that. But you have to realize the contrast of the European society posed alongside the society that was here. Now, the indigenous population, as they call it, which weren't indigenous either. I mean, let's face it. Everybody migrated from somewhere sometime at some point. We didn't have, you know, Australia is an island. We didn't have people, if you believe in evolution, evolving there, just happened to evolve the same way. So the natives, the indigenous people there, didn't rise from the dirt there. They got there somehow from somewhere. This is the whole problem I have with the whole evolution thing, is that the odds, it's so ridiculous that a mutation that happened to have not just a male, but a female mutation at the same time. And they claim, well, we had to be around for millions of years because we had lots of little mutations. You know, we evolved gradually, or we adapted. There is such a thing as adaptation. If you look at the Himalayas, the people who live in the Himalayas, they and their kids, as they grow, their lung capacities have a tendency to be larger than people who live in the lower sea level areas over time. Now, if you moved to the Himalayas, your lung capacity would also expand to some degree over time. But interestingly enough, they've found that the people who live in those areas have larger lung capacities, probably because the ones with smaller lungs have died. But that's a whole other box of worms. I'm not going to go there. Things we're going to talk about today. Two main things I want to talk about today. One is the whole COVID thing again. Mask mandates, they are coming. They are on their way. Not mask mandates, the vaccine mandates. Well, mask mandates are too, but that's, yeah, it's all part of that COVID discussion we'll have. The other discussion is the discussion of the January 6th event, domestic terrorists, and the way the Department of Justice, the DOJ, and the AG, Attorney General, for those of you who don't know what that means, are positioning themselves, the rhetoric that's coming from them. We'll get into that when we start talking about it. Let's talk first about COVID. What to say about this? Right now, I think that there's some companies that of course, they're pushing for vaccine mandates. What I am seeing is that the big companies who have made billions of dollars over the last, you know, COVID age, this COVID dispensation, they have a lot of power, a lot of clout right now. They can afford to lose some employees right now. Now, they put themselves in a really weird position because they believe that there's a lot of unemployed people out there. Unemployment's up. Well, you've got all these unemployment people out there. And yet you have businesses out there clamoring for people to come to work for them. So, which is it? I think the problem is that the elites have fooled themselves into thinking that there's plenty of employees out there. And there are not. There's a lot more jobs now that are looking, people look. Now, if you look at the numbers of job openings that are out there compared to the number of people who were employed earlier, there's still a deficit. The big problem we have right now is that the government refuses to acknowledge this. Everybody kind of puts this on the back shelf and they don't really want to believe it. But the bonus for being on unemployment, the COVID bonus from the federal bonus, I can't remember what it is. It's several hundred dollars a week, I believe, that they get over on top of. I think at one point it was $600, I believe, at least in the state I live in. If I would have been eligible for unemployment, I would have gotten an additional $600 a week on top of the unemployment. That puts you at a rate, that's a ridiculous rate for most people. And here's the problem with centralized government. They do a cover blanket type statement like that. Well, if you live in New York City, $600 a week is not much. If you live in Indiana, northern Indiana, where I'm from, in fact, the part of Indiana that I'm from, in the county that I live in, $600 a week is more than some people make working and doing just fine. You know, the average home cost, you buy a house and your house payment is less than $600 a month. A month, not a week. Some people pay rent less than that a month. So they're doing fine. If they're on unemployment on top of getting that $600 a week, $2,400 a month, that's why you see people out traveling right now like they're on vacation. You don't see business travelers as much. That's beginning to filter in as I'm traveling around. In fact, this I was just mentioning at the beginning of the program, as I was traveling around last week, I was in Manchester, New Hampshire. I was actually at I can't remember the name of the restaurant now. I just had it in my head and I can't remember what the name of it is. It's a little restaurant. I think Fox News actually has been there, to interview people. And interestingly enough, I was in this little, it's connected to a hotel, which I was staying at the hotel, and there was this little restaurant there. And because I was staying there, because of the kind of perks I get, I got a free breakfast. So I went to this little restaurant for a free breakfast, and it was a quaint little place. Everybody talks funny there. New Hampshire. I was there. And then I had to go to through Dulles, Washington Dulles. I don't recommend going through Washington Dulles. It's not a recommendation high on my list. I mean, if you got to get there, you got to get there. But it's, yeah, if you can plan your trip around some other way, I would do it. So Dulles, trying to get to Dayton. And Ohio. Yeah, Dayton is in Ohio. And there was a little bit of, like there was a couple clouds. The move through. I'm not even sure there was any rain. It just a couple clouds. And apparently that stops everything on the East Coast. So they had to separate traffic by 30 miles. Every airplane was separated by 30 miles. Now in Chicago, even when it's raining and practically thunderstorming, they're separating traffic by about a mile. You can be cleared for takeoff on a runway in Chicago. And there's still another airplane just lifting off. I mean, they'll clear one guy to take off, and the next plane is cleared to line up and wait. before the guy even throttles up. Just to give you some idea of how Chicago runs. One of the best run ATC facilities on the planet, in my opinion. Some of the best controllers are in Chicago O'Hare. I'm not saying there aren't any good ones anywhere else. I'm just saying they're some of the best. Just my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just a guy that has a podcast. So we had this issue now of trying to get to Dayton. So I got to get to Dayton. I think it was on Monday. Monday night, I believe. Tuesday, tried to get out of Dayton. And couldn't get out of Dayton. Got stuck there till the next day. Well, the next day, storms were just a massive storm was hitting Chicago. And they were, of course, they were backing things up and they had what they call ground stops in Chicago. And clearance times and reroutes and all this kind of stuff going on. And trying to get people around the weather. So once Chicago cleared up, but the storm was still in the corridors where they bring people in, all the airplanes in. So they have to reroute everybody around those. And so it takes time. And they were, about midnight, they decided to delay the flight till the next day. So next day, storm started moving in towards Chicago again, which was causing issues. Got delayed again and again and again. Finally got out of Dayton and got to Chicago on Wednesday. So I had a couple days at home, and then I had to travel again. Right now I'm in Wausau, Wisconsin. Later tonight I will be back in, where will I be? I don't even know where I'm going to be tonight. I think I'm going to be, I'm going to be in White Plains, New York. White Plains, New York, is that where it is? White Plains, someplace. White Plains, wherever that is. Whatever state that's in, I don't know. Crazy place to go. So I have to go through Chicago. I have to go this evening. I'll leave and go from Wausau to Chicago, and then I go from Chicago to White Plains. I stay there tonight, and then I'm actually going to be, I believe, right next door in Appleton on Monday night, and hopefully getting home on Tuesday. That's the plan anyway. And then I think on Friday, I believe I leave again. Tuesday, so Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, I think I either leave Thursday or Friday. I think I leave Friday. And I'm going to be going to Appleton again. I'll be staying in Appleton for 5 days. Got some serious business to do there. So I'll be there for a while. But at this point, I said all that to say this. We live in an amazing time. And unfortunately, there are people who are taking advantage of people during this COVID mess. And if you take a step back and look at everything that's happening, look at some of the things people are saying, you will have to recognize that there is a crazy hysteria about this virus. Like nothing I have ever seen in my lifetime. We have rhetoric coming from people in leadership, political leadership, saying things like, this is the most deadly virus that this country has ever been exposed to. We have people telling us that children have to be protected. At the same time all this is going on, we have these same politicians who think that they are vaccinated and sophisticated. That's actually a statement that one of them made. And they, have their own parties, like Obama's birthday party, where I guess it has been now determined that about 61 people have now come down with the supposedly this Delta variant of the virus. I don't know if that was from that event, but on Martha's Vineyard itself, that's the case. They have now 61 cases there. There's an outbreak on Martha's Vineyard where the party was held. That's okay because they're sophisticated and vaccinated. it's really interesting that we have this, quote, explosion. And I don't know if there's an explosion or not. They're saying it is. Of COVID again. I think that there are some hot spots again. It's some issues. One of the things that I think that most people don't realize is that in most places, sunlight destroys this thing. The problem is in some of the sunlight, sunshine state, for instance, in Florida, this time of year, everybody's inside because they're in air conditioning. Nobody's outside playing around. Some people are. There's a few people. I would be outside playing around. I love the heat. I would be out in the water all the time. You couldn't keep me out of the water. I'd be on the water, in the water, whatever. Because that's what I like. And that's just me. But I also like the water even when it's, I could be in the water in Florida, and when it's cold even, in the wintertime, it doesn't bother me. That's the issue. This thing seems to be, so when they tell us to shelter in place, and what does that mean? Shelter in place. When there's a virus, when people are getting sick, sheltering in place. When was the last time you heard a doctor say, I want you to go home and shelter in place? No, they just go home, take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. The shelter thing is, they're trying to reference it with a storm. You shelter when there's a storm. If there's a snowstorm coming into your area or a hurricane or a tornado headed your way, you shelter in place. That has nothing to do with a sickness, with a viral thing. Shelter in place. They wanted people to stay inside. And it's well known. We want to talk about science. Let's talk about science for a moment. It's very well known that all the studies that have been done in regards to this outbreak have been that people have been catching it indoors. That's why they want you to wear a mask indoors, even if you've been vaccinated now. Now, there are some very well-known, very well-educated, and sophisticated doctors who have come out and spoken out scientifically with differing views on this whole thing, differing than what you're hearing from, Commander Fossey.
Well, all I'm saying is most zombie movies start with some guy in a lab coat telling you that everything's okay.
The issue here is that we have this tremendous number of people in this country who are very reluctant to go forward with this thing. I'm going to be transparent with you. I'm one of them. I believe I've had COVID. This is my situation. I'm just going to let you know. I believe I've had COVID last year before all the testing was being done. Right now, they're saying that the antibodies apparently last at least up to 1 year, at least in most people, and possibly longer. Everybody was saying, well, the vaccine is more likely to protect you against the variants. That's not the case now. Every study that has come out is saying the vaccine is not as effective against the variant. Natural immunity is more effective. So whoever tells you that, just nod and say, okay, whatever you want to believe. And then go out and do the research on your own. Look into some of the studies. If you can find some things, you should probably use DuckDuckGo because you're going to get railroaded if you try to use anything else probably. There's still information out there. There's plenty of, they're trying to scrub it as fast as they can, but they can't keep it all scrubbed. There is a couple of doctors who are saying that I don't know about this. This one guy is saying that over 45,000 people in this country have died from the vaccine. I'm not trying to scare you from the vaccine. I'm just saying that's what this one doctor has said. I don't know about that. All I know, he knows more about how the CDC reports these things, and he's saying that the CDC itself has reported some things that if you base it on the actual numbers and the way they report, that there was a larger number. The CDC, I think, is saying like 7,000 or 8,000 people died from the vaccine. But that's just within a few days. There's other issues that happen within 2 months. Now, there's other issues that could probably happen longer, even further out than that. And his explanation of the science of this mRNA stuff NRMA, mRNA, whatever, mRNA, is the way it works in your body and the way your body over time, every time you get sick, how it continues to respond. Now, here's the issue that I have because I believe I've had it. I need to get tested for antibodies. Because of the way your natural immunity works, if you take the vaccine, if you've had it and you take the vaccine, you are actually at a greater risk of developing problems with the vaccine and a bad reaction to the vaccine. And they have explanations for all this stuff, and they talk about it and explain it all, and I'm not going to go into all that. So as we look at this, we have to kind of recognize that there's a whole lot of a lot more information out there. There was a very good doctor, I think I talked about it in the last show. He's a functional medicine specialist, was confronting a school board. And he made the point that there is what's called an animal reservoir. In other words, COVID, we'll never be rid of COVID. And that's kind of what they're acting like, we're going to get rid of this thing. It's going to go away completely. It will not go away because there's an animal reservoir. In other words, animals can get it. And they can continue to pass it back on, pass it back to humans again. It's in society. It's in the natural world now. Mumps and measles, he was making the referral to some things about that. You can eradicate some things if they only exist in humans. If there is an animal reservoir, in other words, if animals can also carry it, you'll never get rid of it. Without destroying all the animals. And we can't do that. So these are some of the issues that we're struggling with. Now, vaccine mandates. This is going to divide us as a country because we're going to have two different economies. Those who are surviving without the vaccine and those who have the vaccine and want to force it on everybody else, because here's what's happening. And typically, I usually think the opposite of whatever a liberal will say, because probably the opposite is happening. When they start blaming Trump for everything that's wrong in the world, and then you look at what they're doing, they usually blame you for what they're doing wrong. That's been the case. Typically, that's what happens with liberals. They will blame you for the problems that they're causing. And then they want to come up with a solution for you. And usually the solution has to do with, well, you just need to get rid of your rights. You need to go away. Whatever. You need to be removed from society. So right now they're blaming the unvaccinated for the outbreak and the spread of the Delta virus. And there are more and more reports this is not the case. Now, just back up a second and think about something for a moment. We have a vaccine now that we didn't have a year ago. We had outbreaks last year. This thing has been in society for a long time. We had outbreaks last year from March on of 2020 that were recognized as we have hotspots. The issue about masks. So nobody's wearing masks. We kind of got through it, didn't have a whole lot of deaths. Got into the summertime. Weather was pretty moderate initially in the spring. And cases started going down. We started doing the whole shelter in place thing. Thinking that in 2 weeks we're going to break the chain, as they say. Not let anybody talk to anybody for 2 weeks, and it all goes away. Didn't happen, did it?
Well, it's because nobody wore their masks. It's because everybody kept working.
No, whatever. We have to survive. We have to keep going. We can't, not everybody can survive for 2 weeks in a little cubicle. Because as soon as you come out, it's going to be there. It's still going to be there. And so the issue now, it becomes one of, do we continue to make everybody else shut down, or to shut down the people who don't want to be vaccinated because the people who are vaccinated are afraid of you? Or do the people who are afraid of COVID, they go away? They go shelter someplace. Let the rest of us live our lives in the way we want. There's a big question there. Problem is that the powers that be have the media on their side and apparently some kind of big shots that think they know everything. So there's lines being drawn here. And the lines are interesting. Not everybody on the right and not everybody who's a Trump supporter is anti-COVID vaccine. I'm seeing a lot of people who are on the right who would consider themselves, they would be considered conservatives, even those in talk shows and popular people, are pushing this vaccine on everybody, telling everybody, you know, Bill O'Reilly, this kind of lets me know where these people are as well, too, to some extent. I'm not going to say it's a litmus test, but it's it's interesting to hear some of these people say, you're the reason, you're the problem. If you don't get the vaccine, you're the problem. You're the danger to society. And if you're anti-vaccination, the DOJ now has come out and labeled you, and the AG has labeled you as a potential domestic terror threat. Antifa, no, that they're not a problem. Antifa has a goal of abolishing government. Most of them are anarchists. Antifa is not about anti-fascism. They are about anti-anything. They are about anti-government, anti-rule, anybody ruling over them. The Wall Street movement that happened a while back, they were anti-government people. Anti-big bank, and I'm not necessarily, I don't think the big banks are friends to us. I think they're out to use us as chattel any way they can. But at the same time, and they're not really capitalists either. They're crony capitalism. It's a faux capitalism. It's not true capitalism that the big banks do. They live in a phony world. The 2008 bailout showed us that. There was only really one bank that was really having problems. And all the banks had to go in on it because they couldn't point out the one bank that was having the problems. Well, they were afraid that all of them were going to collapse, but they didn't want that one bank to collapse because they had to protect all of them. I'm not going to have time to. I'm wondering if I should just continue on with the show. And I normally, when I'm on the road, I usually end the show in about 30 minutes. And right now, I'm kind of thinking that maybe I'm going to just keep going here instead of ending the show here. But in fact, I think I will. I think I will just continue to go on. Because I still want to talk about the January 6th issues. But think about the fact that a year ago, we didn't have the vaccinations. We now have a huge percentage of the population, supposedly over 50%. JoJo says that it's over, that we've now reached the 70% mark. He missed his goal by a month of trying to get 70% of the population vaccinated. Okay, so Mr. Scientist then, Joe, tell us why you wanted 70% of the population vaccinated. Was that the point that we were going to be over the hump? That we weren't going to have a problem? Because we had 70% vaccinated? Or is it the goal is 100% vaccination? I would contend that their goal is 100% now because they realize this isn't working. And, of course, now they're saying a third vaccine, you need a third shot. Two shots isn't enough. Third one's really going to do it for you. Two of them just didn't quite do it. You really need a third one. I thought it was supposed to be, supposedly Pfizer was 90% effective. What they're finding now is that most of the Pfizer and Moderna, the big names, they're now saying the reports that it may not even be as much as 40% effective against the Delta variant. Now, I'm no scientist, I'm no doctor, I'm not a virologist. All I'm doing is repeating back things that I'm hearing virologists and scientists and other people say. One of the things that I'm hearing, and this is a theory based on this guy's understanding and his knowledge and years of expertise in virology. He's claiming that the Delta variant, that this mutation And some of the other mutations, and they think there may be actually a mutation up from the Delta variant that actually is like a Delta 2. I don't know if it's called a Lambda, whatever it's called, I don't know. That has actually sprung up because of the vaccines. In other words, as it went to duplicate itself in the bodies of people who had been vaccinated. And this is where you see viruses are not really animals as we think of them. They don't have a brain. They don't think. They're not like a bacteria. They're different. A bacteria is a living cell, whereas a virus is not really that way. It's a thing that gets into your cells and has to have a host. Now, this thing, supposedly, as it is infecting someone who has had the vaccination, your body then creates this defense mechanism, which is that's what it had developed because of the vaccine. The vaccine triggered your body or enabled your body to create these antibodies or this immunity towards, you know, this vaccine doesn't just stay, you know, floating around in your body forever. It causes your body to do something, which creates a change in your body, which gives you an immunity to this virus. So this immunity that you have now, so let's say the Delta variant comes into your body, which the virus was not even, or the vaccine wasn't even, they didn't even know about the Delta variant before when they got the vaccine made. I heard from people around me in the medical community that the vaccine was more effective than natural immunity. That's not the case. That study after study, and peer review, I'm talking about peer-reviewed studies now, are showing that that is not the case at all. And I had a hard time believing it. I thought natural immunity was much more powerful than anything that the synthetics could do. Well, it turns out that is the case. Natural immunity is much more powerful against the variety of variants, the original COVID, as well as any kind of variants that are out there. Not to say that you can't get it again or that you're not going to, you know, be harmed. I'm just saying that the odds are, percentages show, that natural immunity is more effective. That's why the whole antibody treatment thing now is becoming more popular. In fact, that's what DeSantis is doing down in Florida. They have it's called a mono something. I don't know what, there's a big long name for it, where they have this, it's a therapeutic, but it's an antibody treatment. So it's based on natural immunity, and it helps your body to fight off this thing. A lot of people have used it, and a lot of people have been very successful. It's all about timing. It's about knowing when you get the virus within the first week, having the right treatment and that kind of thing before it gets to the point of escalation. So the issues now. So all of a sudden we get this vaccine out there. We have more people vaccinated than ever. Every day, we're getting vaccinated more than ever every day. And yet we have hotspots. And what we see as they're claiming is to be a resurgence and a potential lockdown again. This is a backwards move. Why are we going backwards? And, I mean, because we were dropping masks, we were dropping social, there were states opening up long before the vaccination was out there in any kind of significant numbers. And the spikes in things that we're seeing, of course, now a lot of people moved to Florida, a lot of people moved to Texas, Alabama, Georgia. The spikes that we're seeing in those places they were expected because of everybody moving indoors for the summer. It blows my mind that people can't step back and just look at the natural, let's just look at the numbers, let's look at what we've done and what's happened. Because all these knee-jerk reactions that we think are okay. Just like this, I saw this little guy, he was interviewing people on the street.
And they were talking about the masks and people wearing masks. Oh, yeah, masks are effective. Masks are effective. And they were asking them specific points about, okay, can you explain to me how the mask works and how it keeps you from getting the virus? They had no idea. You know, they assumed, well, it keeps you from spitting and stuff. Well, the virus doesn't, I mean, it can travel in your spit. That's true. That's very true. But it's aerosolized. In other words, if you're breathing out and there's air going through the mask and escaping from the mask, any vapor at all, escaping, the mask doesn't, you know, when you exhale, doesn't capture all your vapor coming out of your lungs. That's where the virus is. So believe me, it's, if you're breathing someone else's air at all, there's a high possibility that virus could be in it. That's the way viruses work. They're tiny. People don't realize just how tiny, tiny, tiny we're talking about here. Extremely small. Smaller than bacteria. Way smaller. I think it's like hundreds of times smaller. So, we're dealing with something that's, first of all, very misunderstood in the general population. And if all of our measures that we've taken, of course, now they always have this thing of, well, if you wouldn't have had the vaccination, you would have died. If you wouldn't have done this, so because all these vaccinated people who are getting sick, they're saying, well, think of how bad it would have been if you hadn't had the vaccination. Really? So all of a sudden we know what the outcome would have been without it. We don't know that. Show me the studies that show a control group of 1,000 people who've had the vaccine, the same age range and everything else that's there, who've gotten sick, who didn't have COVID before. So you got 1,000 people on one side and 1,000 people on the other side. Neither one of them have ever gotten COVID. They have no antibodies, no evidence that either one of them has been exposed to the virus. You vaccinate the 1,000 of the one on the one side. The other side doesn't have it. And then you put them into society, let them go, and you see where the virus goes. In the same town, same county, same city. And 1 year later, you make a determination of who got the virus, how bad it was, what age groups got it, who died, who didn't. Okay, we haven't had time for those kinds of studies. But that's the kind of study that will tell you that answer. That's the only way you can get that kind of an answer. Everything else is supposition and speculation. And it's a straw man argument in every case. Everybody jumps to conclusions on this stuff. And it just amazes me the hysteria that follows and ensues from this. But it happens. That's what happens all the time. And we are right now living in a time that's extremely alarming, frightening almost to me. Not scary in terms of I'm going to lose my faith or, you know, I don't think God's in control about this stuff. But just, it amazes me that I'm scared for the sake of society. That we can be so easily manipulated. So that's where I'm at. I think people have watched too many movies about some things and just gotten too nuts about some of this stuff. So January 6th, I was listening to BCP, Black Conservative Patriot. He's kind of a thing he calls open source news, but his channel on YouTube is called BCP, Black Conservative Patriot. He might have another channel called Open Source News. I don't know if he does or not. I subscribe and I listen to almost every one of his videos. He does a really good job of covering news. And what the people are saying. And we have got the rhetoric from the leftists and the vaccine Nazis is alarming. But even more alarming is the rhetoric I'm hearing about the January 6th event. The, quote, attack on our nation's capital. Now, I want to ask you a critical thinking question. When we look at Antifa and the BLM movement and the destruction that was going on there,
the people who run BLM, what is their agenda with regard to government? Are they a founding father, originalists, freedom loving, constitutional group that believes in the country and what it was founded on, and wants to see it restored to its founding roots of liberty for every individual? Is that what they're about? Before you answer that question, even though you might have already answered it, let's talk about the people who stormed the Capitol, who tried to subvert our democracy. I'm using those terms as tongue-in-cheek. Because I'll tell you what, if they had been successful in storming the Capitol and there was this supposed insurrection, I'd venture to say that the insurrectionists are the ones that are in government right now subverting our Constitution, not upholding and defending it the way they swore an oath to. Because if they really understood what the Constitution was about, they like to use the word Constitution. Oh, they're real good at being a politician. They're not so good at understanding what their mission is here. Because upholding and defending the Constitution means you're upholding and defending the rights of every individual. And if you're not doing that, you're subverting the Constitution. That's what it was founded on. It was founded on individual liberty. Even John F. Kennedy knew that. So, in fact, I think he was probably one of the last real traditional Democrats. I'm not a Kennedy fan. If I have to say that where the Democrats started taking a left turn was with Jimmy Carter, believe it or not. Even though he's supposedly a Bible-believing Christian. I know a lot of, quote, Bible-believing Christians who believe some weird things about the Bible. They approach the Bible with their own agenda and use the Bible to meet that agenda, not the other way around. They don't allow the Word of God to change their hearts. They use the Word of God to get their agenda done. Because as I have said, the end, let's all say it together, justifies the means. So, if those people who are supposedly enemies of the country, what were they really standing? Okay, let me just ask you this. What was their motive? Was their motive to take over government and change it? To take it over and do something different with it? To destroy our, quote, democracy, our republic? To destroy the Constitution? To somehow put us into a different state of a dictatorship? Censorship? Were they out to destroy your individual liberties? Is that what their motive was? And are the real patriots, are the real freedom-loving, true Americans, the Antifa BLM crowd? I mean, these are some basic questions we need to ask. Who is really the criminals here? Who are the anti-government domestic terrorists, the ones who have destroyed more property, killed more people, and done more to subvert our Constitution? Are you going to say the people who attacked January 6th? Or are you going to say the people who had all the riots, burned down buildings, destroyed private property, public property, made threats, death threats, killed people, have killed police? We're about halfway through our year here, a little over halfway. Over 50 police officers have been killed this year so far. Has anybody protested that? We had, I think, about 9 unarmed black people last year, which was too many, killed by police officers last year. 9. And we have mass chaos and hysteria about it. Which it's questionable whether or not all those were unjustified. Some of them were accidents. Some of them were still justified, even though the person was unarmed. So, are we really, you know? But the narrative is, oh well, the cops are all racist, even the black ones. And you'll see videos of white liberals who are woke yelling and screaming and cussing and swearing at black officers for being Uncle Toms or whatever they call them. They call them all kinds of names. And then, of course, you've got this big man, Capitol Police officer, who, along with his buddies, who are all obviously handpicked to read scripts at the Senate hearing, congressional hearing, that he was called, you know, the N-word. And there's a big gang of people that were chanting at him, calling him names. Yeah, that's what they were there for that day. That's what the protesters were there to do that day. They were because they're all racists. It's a bunch of white supremacist racists. Half the country is white supremacist and racist. Yeah, that's what it is. Well, you know, even though over half the country voted for Obama in 2008, so I don't know what happened there. This narrative has got to stop. It's rhetoric that is separating our country and destroying us at the seams. We no longer have a common vision that we're all pushing towards, fighting for, living for, working together to commit to, and to form a more perfect union. That's not happening because we have leadership that is so gung-ho, even those in the establishment of Republican establishment, not just the leftists, they so want to dip their toe in the flow of money and power that they are willing to let the country continue to be ripped apart to keep their agenda and their money, their donations coming in to fight against the... I got to tell you, I'm just going to end with this because it's been almost an hour. My representative at home in Northern Indiana, congressional representative, I'm just not sure what to think about her anymore. I continue to get emails. Of course, it's, you know, we're coming up on another year. It could be another election. The Republican establishment right now loves the fact that there's some momentum for the Republicans to get some money now because people are really fed up with the Democrats. So they're thinking they're going to switch over to the Republicans and everything's going to be fine. So they're giving to the RNC or whatever it is called. I think it's the Republican National Committee, I think. So donations are up. Like crazy. Oh, the Republican establishment loves this. They think, oh yeah, we're going to get our power back now. Well, the establishment is the problem. And I think Trump helped to point that out. Regardless of what you think of the guy, he was not a politician, and he was kind of showed us what the establishment is like on both sides. They were throwing a tizzy fit about this guy on both sides. The Lincoln Project is a good example. Well, the donations are up, so they think they're going to get their... So the momentum is on that side right now. Well, all of a sudden, I'm getting a lot of emails from my representative saying that... And there's always this tone of, we need... You know, she needs donations to fight back. We need donations. You got to donate now to fight back. The fund. Got to donate to the fund to fight back. You know, I voted for you, and then you go vote in my place. That's all the power you have. Now, I guess you want to have enough money to get reelected. To do what? What is it exactly you're going to get reelected to do? To not be on the left? Is that what you're running on? Or just to run for more donations? I mean, you got what you want from me. You got a vote, okay? Don't ask me for my money now. Go, if you can go do something to help me make more money,
to keep more of my money, my hard-earned money, not to necessarily make more money, but to keep more of my hard-earned money, maybe we can talk about some kind of donation. But I'm not even asking for that. I'm not even asking for, that's more like a bribe on my part. They're actually trying to buy my vote. But to come to me after I elected you to do a job and say you want donations, that's like an employer hiring me. See, an employer hires me to do a job. And then I say, okay, here I am. I'm here at work. Now you need to give me some money so I can do the job. No, you're getting paid to do the job. You've got the job. Just do the job. You'll get paid. That's how it works. You don't get any more money. Unless you do a really good job, and you might get a bonus if you get some kind of profit sharing. Now you tell me what it is that government produces that deserves a profit share. So I'm just not sure about to think about all that. They're constantly wanting these donations, and I'm just asking for what? What is it you're wanting the donations for? Because frankly, I just don't see how that's supposed to work. So I don't know about all that. So, well, I believe that probably going to be drawing this program to a close. I'm not exactly sure. I know tomorrow morning I may have a show, and I'm going to try to possibly do it live. We'll see how it goes. I'm also going to record a backup because last time the live show didn't go well. I don't think there was any audio. I had a few people check in, and then they went away right away because I don't think there was any sound. So I will try to work on it. I'm going to do some more tests and see what I can do with the old live sound thing. But in the meantime, on this fine Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, I'm probably going to post this show actually Monday morning as well. So we'll see how that goes. But have a great evening, everybody. Have a great Sunday. Have a great week ahead. God bless. Continue to pray for our nation. Pray for me. Pray for each other. See you tomorrow.